Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome in, everybody, to a special Football 24-7 edition on Jacob Sports here after Eagles' mandatory minicamp, their one-day mandatory minicamp. I'm here with John McMullen, who's live down at the NovaCare Complex right outside. Johnny Mack, take us down to the NovaCare Complex. How you doing, brother, on this Tuesday evening?
Yeah, nice day it turned out. Pretty significant change from this morning, so at least the weather held up. Very humid, though, so gave you a little feel for what's to come with training camp when it's certainly going to be hot and sticky. So maybe the Eagles got it a little bit used to that as they're gearing up to leave the NovaCare Complex for their summer break.
No doubt about it. Johnny Mack, yeah, they were on the field today, brother. Full attendance for the Eagles today for mandatory minicamp. Some takeaways from on the field, and we'll talk a little bit about what the players had to say. Saquon spoke, Jalen Hurts spoke, said some interesting things as always. Nick Sirianni spoke, and a couple others as well. Johnny Mack, your first takeaways, though, brother, on what you saw today at the NovaCare Complex for mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, pretty sharp spring overall, I would say, for the offense. You know, we've been talking about it a lot. The ball didn't hit the ground much. Now, you know, not a lot of pressing things down the field either. So a lot of underneath stuff. But it seemed Jalen Hurts was comfortable for at least the three practices that we were here. You never know what's going on behind the scenes. But, you know, again today, maybe one, maybe two incompletions the entire practice. So now, again, I don't think there's been much stretching the field. A.J. Brown did a little bit more in teamwork. Devontae Smith had a handful of reps as he was back. So you had more of your core group. But still, there wasn't Terrace Marshall was sort of the volume guy today. But, yeah, it's and it went further than that. It was also Tanner McKee and Kyle McCord. Kyle McCord was probably the star. He and Nick Muse have a real sort of a joke that Nick Muse is Kyle McCord's Muse, because those two really have a chemistry early on. Third team reps, you can see pretty much Kyle McCord has taken over that spot from Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And maybe Nick Muse is going to make a run at one of those backup tight end spots, because two of the three practices we were here, he made the best catches. And today it was a one-handed stab over the middle, down the field, about 15, 20 yards down the field. So, you know, that's a name we might have to start talking a little bit more about. Jahan Dotson, I think, has done a lot with his extra reps, first team reps, without, you know, AJ and Devontae on the field. But really impressive, I would say, for the spring for the offense. And maybe it should be that way, because everybody's back except Mekhi Becton, and the defense is working in a bunch of new guys, so maybe that should have been expected.
No doubt about it. Good stuff there, John. Offense looking good. Talk to me about Jalen Hurts. You mentioned ball didn't hit the turf much. Another sharp day for Jalen. He's had a good spring, good summer so far here for the Birds. He spoke after practice as well today. Just tell me a little bit about Jalen Hurts today, John, what you saw on the field and any takeaways from his comments.
No, I think, you know, Jalen was Jalen when it came to the comments. You know, very, very structured, very, very on point, very on target. He's not going to offer much. But
I like the Jordan and Jeter comment.
Well, he already told us that. That was right. That wasn't new. So that was about, and the Eagles have been cognizant, and I mentioned it this morning on the show. They don't say repeat. They say sustained success, because they want to stay in the moment. So that's been sort of the mantra of, you know, you're not going to hear the word repeat from the Philadelphia Eagles this year. You'll hear it from a lot of fans and a lot of people in media and things like that, but you're not going to hear it from them. And that's a directive from the head coach. And it's really about that. And that's what they learned, you know. You talk about Jalen Hurts talking to Mike. Obviously, you know, for the Jordan brand, he can get together with Michael Jordan. And he can get together with Derek Jeter. So those are two guys that know a lot about having sustained success. And that's what they're trying to replicate. And to a certain degree, and Nick said it before practice today, they've already had a significant run of sustained success. And that's what they're trying to keep going, because, again, when we talk about winning Super Bowls, you know, the stars have to align. You have to have a good team. You have to be in a good position. You have to have good players, good coaches. But the stars also have to align to go to where you ultimately want to go. But if you're good and you're in the dance and you have that sustained success every year, and more opportunities are the stars are going to align. So that's kind of the whole philosophy. And honestly, that same philosophy has been here since basically Andy Reid got here in 1999. That's where it all started from.
Yep. Sounds like they have the right mindset on it, John, to try and go back and repeat. I'll use the word repeat. They might not. John, Danny Gray was getting a lot of love today. Did you see anything from Danny Gray? Is he this year's camp darling?
Well, you know, DeCecco and I have been talking about him a lot, Danny Gray. So, you know, he was sort of the Eagles practice squad star last year. Like, he was the guy who, scout team star, he was the guy who would replicate the opposition's top receiver. And, you know, if you went around and asked coaches and players about who's helping on the scout team, they would inevitably mention Danny Gray first. You know, he got here late in the process after he got cut in San Francisco, was a third round pick. So he's got talent. He can run. He's a 4.33 guy. I mentioned Danny Gray a lot in the OTAs. I think today, you know, he was probably the leading receiver over the first two OTAs. Today it was Terrace Marshall. He was the volume guy. And the thing about Danny is he can get open. He can run by people. But he did have a couple drops in OTAs as well. So just needs to get a little bit more consistent. And if he gets that down, I've talked about it a lot when the backup receivers, it's more of, and you've heard me mention this, it's more of what you want. Do you want a kick returner?
Right.
Maybe Anaya Smith is involved then. Do you want a blocker? Maybe Johnny Wilson's involved. But if you want just a receiver, well, then Danny Gray and Terrace Marshall are better than the Johnny Wilsons and the Anaya Smiths of the world.
Dotson in trouble at all or not to that level?
No. I brought up, to me, you know, I brought him up as a sneaky trade candidate.
Right.
Thus, it's probably going to.
Well, that's kind of more what I was thinking, John. Like, is Danny Gray showing enough to maybe move Dotson if there's any value on the market for him? Would they feel good enough with him at wide receiver 3, given that they don't really use it all that much anyway?
No, I think Marshall would be 3 and Gray would be 4.
Okay.
But yeah, that's to be determined down the road. You know, if they get through camp 2-3 weeks of camp and they say, you know what, Terrace Marshall can handle this job. You know, he himself is a second round pick. He's even higher pick than Danny Gray, and he's still young. And if you can tap into some of his natural skill, Devontae Smith was talking about him today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Day. He's from Louisiana. They're both Louisiana guys. They played on the same 7-on-7 team in high school, and you can imagine how dominant that team was. He's got a lot of pure talent, just physical ability. If they get comfortable enough, he could be a sneaky trade candidate. But if he's here, he's the third receiver. Jahan Dotson's a good player. I don't know why fans got into the mentality if he's not a good player.
No, he is a good player. I just didn't know, John. I mean, it is a business. You know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily an indictment to say if the Eagles could get value out of him that they would take that offer up just simply because of the way their offense flows.
Yeah, I brought that up. So I'm not blaming people for bringing that up. I think it makes some sense because, you know, he's not going to be here next year. Bottom line, he's good enough to where he can get a bigger role somewhere else and probably more money somewhere else. But as long as he's here, he's not getting pushed by Terrace Marshall or Danny Gray.
Speaking of the two big dog receivers, Johnny Mac, both Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown were out there today. How did they look?
Well, they didn't do much, but they did. A.J. has been here the entire spring. And he did a little bit more, but maybe a handful of team reps. And Devontae, who hasn't been here, has been working out down in Florida. He did a little bit more, but we're still talking about limited reps. And they look like themselves. I mean, they're brilliant players. You know, you can tell the difference when they're on the field and when they're not. Let's put it that way. They didn't do much, but that was by design. Like, Jalen Carter didn't practice today. Zach Bond didn't practice today. Had some general soreness because we talked to Zach after practice. But obviously they're just being ultra cautious with some of the players, some of the big-time players. Nolan Smith, for all his talk, it was not out there. Talking about ready to strike with one day left in the summer. It didn't make a lot of sense. I didn't think it made a lot of sense, and they did hold him back. They're being very cautious with their really, really key players.
Yeah, good stuff there, John. Going to running backs and tight ends, we can start with the running back, Saquon Barkley. An interesting comment after I want to ask you about, but did you see anything from those guys out on the field today?
No, like I put running backs in the same category as offensive linemen, defensive linemen.
They're not doing much, right?
Yeah, until the pads come on, you can't really gauge. Other than, you know, Saquon looks a lot different than A.J. Dillon. Besides, you know, they both have huge quads. The comparisons end there because one, you know, is really explosive and the other is not. They did run a nice little sort of jet sweep to Will Shipley, which was a wrinkle. I think they're, you know, trying to ramp him up. So I think some of the younger players, you could see Kaylee Ringo took more first team reps than Adoree Jackson today. So you can see they're trying to ramp him up. Drew Makuba is getting more and more. I would still say Sydney's ahead of him, but he's closing the gap. And I would say Kyle McCord's already passed Dorian Thompson-Robinson for the third quarterback job. And then Brett Toth had some struggles, which he's had in the past, with snaps. And I wouldn't be surprised. Cam Jurgens remembers not practicing. So Brett Toth has been getting the first team reps. but he had a couple bad snaps today. And I wouldn't be surprised if camp started and if camp still needs some more time, Drew Kendall will probably start getting those reps just because he can snap the football. And you got to get, this happened a couple years ago where Brett was struggling. Because remember, Brett Toth is like a left tackle in college. He can play every position. And center's his most unnatural position, but they pat him out there. So when Marcus Mariota was here, they couldn't get good second-team reps because the snaps, he was playing shortstop before he was playing quarterback, and they had to bring in Josh Andrews to snap the football. So they might go that direction just to save the reps with Drew Kendall, but we'll see how that shakes out.
John, how about that tight end room? Anything from Harrison Bryant, Kylan Grant, and anything from the bodies after Dallas Goedert? I know you mentioned Nick Muse.
Nick Muse.
Is he coming? Is Harrison Bryant and Kylan Grant on the outs? Nick Muse is having good practices.
Boy, he really is. Now he's taking third team reps. And he it's just one of those things where Colin McCord is out there with Nick Muse, and they've developed a chemistry, and it looks really good. It looks really good. So I don't know if it continues to look like that. Maybe they'll elevate him to some more second-team reps, and we'll see what happens at that point. But, yeah, I mean, he was the player of the practice today, Nick Muse. He was phenomenal.
All 90 guys out there, and Nick Muse wins player of the practice. I love it.
Yeah, well – there was one touchdown, and it was to Nick Muse. Like I said, he had a one-handed stab of a catch. It just, yeah, he's – those two have developed a quick chemistry. Now, again, it's third-team offense versus third-team defense. He's not doing it against the top players, so you have to factor that into it. But just in his performance and – his opportunities, he stood out the most, certainly amongst the tight ends.
We got our Harrison Bryant truther is in the chat right now, John. You're not giving him a stitch on Harrison Bryant. Is he falling by the wayside quick, John?
No, I think, it's pretty clear that he and Kylan Granson are going to fight for the third job. If you go back to last year, the Eagles only kept two tight ends on the roster, the initial roster, and then they put two on the practice squad. So I could see that happening again. But, yeah, there's a clear demarcation line between Grant Calcaterra and Harrison Bryant and Kylan Granson. And Bryant and Granson are probably neck and neck. No pun intended, because Harrison Bryant has a long neck. But, yeah, he's fighting for that third tight end job.
And Nick Muse is on their rear end coming up.
Yeah, well, again, I wouldn't say that because he hasn't gotten any second-team reps. But with the reps he's gotten in Kyle McCord, he's done a really good job.
Good stuff there. John, let's go over to that defensive side of the ball. I know you mentioned him a little bit there, but the most exciting thing for me on the defensive side, John, was – Jihad Campbell was out there moving, man. Jihad Campbell was out there moving. What'd you see in the defensive side of the ball today, Johnny Mac?
Yeah, well, he's not doing any team drills.
No, but he was moving. I mean, he was moving in a drill. I saw it on the video of it.
Yeah, he's been there. He's been there in OTAs as well. He stretches and he does some individual work, but Vic does sort of one drill that he said, which he wouldn't say what it was, where it won't impact his shoulder, and just to get him sort of ramped up and do as much as possible. So he's been out there for this entire time, but as Vic said, he's not going to be able to practice until sometime in August. We asked Nick about that. Nick, of course, I don't want to put a timetable on it, but
yeah, right.
He's not going to be out there until August. So it's the spring of Jeremiah Trotter, and that'll continue into training camp. And I'll tell you what, though, Zach Bond was held out today. So the first team linebackers were Trott and Smile Munden.
Right.
And then your top backup was Dixon, who's an undrafted rookie from Toledo. I mean, they are light at linebacker. Now, you know, eventually when Zach's in there, of course, but you don't have Zach Paul and N'Kobe Dean and Jihad Campbell.
Right.
That's what you're talking about, because those guys didn't practice today.
That's a lot missing, though. That's three guys that are out of that room.
Yeah. Well, and the problem
Paul spoke after practice, didn't he, John?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's fine. He just had some – they just held him out.
Yeah,
they
I think he just said he was sore or something. I saw.
Yeah, he had general soreness. But, yeah, I'm not worried about Zach at all from a health standpoint. The other two I'm worried about, it's touch and go whether Jihad Campbell will be ready for week one, and I would say it's very unlikely that N'Kobe Dean will be ready for week one.
We'll see what happens there. Johnny Mack, talk to me about Jalix Hunt and Jordan Davis. I think there might have been some stuff on social media about those guys, because I got a bunch of comments today about Jalix Hunt and Jordan Davis. Did anything pop out to you, Johnny Mack, or is this fake social media hype for nothing?
I don't know what it was. I mean, Jalix Hunt generated a couple of F-bombs from Jordan Mailata. It's probably in reference.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, he's shown a lot, Jalix Hunt. The Eagles are excited about him. Fans should be excited about him. He's very rangy. He's got everything you need to be a pass rusher. You know, very Josh Sweat-like as far as the frame, just long and lengthy. Now, he needed to get stronger, which is natural. As it was said, he used to play safety at Cornell, so... but he's got the frame to add weight, and he just looks good. So I think that impresses people. It's easy to get Jordan to drop F-bombs, though. Jordan Mailata is going to drop about 7 F-bombs in any conversation you have with him. So, but, you know, when you see it on the field, I guess some people took that as – something probably more.
Yeah, it wasn't over the top. I just people wanted me to ask you about him, so I wanted to do that. Jordan Davis, John, how did he look? I know there's a large notice on Jordan Davis just in terms of physically how he looks. What did you see from Jordan Davis today?
Yeah, I mean, I as I say, I know people get tired of it, but they don't have the pads on, so you know, offensive defensive linemen, I take with a grain of salt. They did run more team drills. You know, the vast majority of OTAs are 7-on-7s. They did at least put the offensive and defensive line out there. So, you know, it was Jordan Davis and Moro Ojomo. And they rolled out their 5-man front for the first time this spring. And it was Moro, it was Jordan Davis, and it was Thomas Booker. When they went with the 5-man front, you won't get a feel for the defensive lineman until the pads come on. Jordan, we already talked to Jordan about the Peloton, and you know Vic said he was in the best shape of his life, but we've been down that route before. You got to see it before. Seems we write that story every spring. But he can play. I mean, there's no question that Jordan Davis can play. He's not a question mark. I mean, that dude's a good football player.
Yeah, no doubt about it. John, moving into that secondary, we talked linebackers, talked defensive line a little bit. What'd you see from that secondary? It looks like Sidney Brown got the first reps, but him and Makuba were rotating. You saw Cooper DeJean in there at the slot. Keelan Ringo was on the outside. What'd you see in the secondary, John, that stood out to you today from mandatory minicamp?
Yeah, I saw Mac McWilliams get his first reps inside at nickel.
There you go, yep.
So that was a new development. Yeah, Kaylee got more reps than Adoree Jackson. So up to this point, it had been the opposite. So I think that's a positive for Kaylee. And Sidney Brown is still, like I said, he's still a little bit ahead of Makuba, but they're basically 50-50. And I think Makuba's trending upward. Brown is probably trending downward. But they did. Sydney is still starting. Kaylee got the first rep at right corner. Cooper was in the slot. So I would say that's a positive sign for Kaylee Ringo.
Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff there, Jenny Mac. Any other takeaways, John, from on the field? I had Smile Munden. I know you mentioned that he started. Did he do anything that stick out to you? Did he look the part? Anything on him?
Well, he stood out for a bad reason. I don't know if it was his fault or if it was a blown coverage, but at one point he got matched up sort of man to man, which with Devontae Smith, which went as you would expect.
Right.
And basically Devontae just put a double move on him and caught the pass and would have went in for a touchdown. But obviously that's not the goal of the defense. So you would have to believe there was some kind of busted coverage. And the same thing happened with a second team rep with Dixon, who got, I forget who the receiver is. I'll have to check my notes, but same thing happened. He got caught up with He got caught up with Anaya Smith one-on-one. And obviously Anaya is not Devontae, but it went as bad as you expected as well. You know, right. Linebackers are not supposed to be covering receivers by themselves. So probably more busted coverages than anything else, which, you know, you're playing a bunch of young, inexperienced linebackers out there.
John, Devontae Smith is no stranger to picking on Georgia Bulldogs. I take you back to the national championship when Devontae was a freshman in college. It was none other than Devontae himself who caught the game-winning pass in overtime, John, from Tua Tagovailoa to beat the Georgia Bulldogs. That was when Jalen Hurts was benched at halftime. He's used to picking on the Bulldogs. Good to hear he did it again. Good on-field takeaways there from Johnny Mac. John, before I let you run, brother, just any thoughts on the players who did speak? Saquon spoke. I thought the comment, John, about not working his body at all, I don't know what you think of that. I'll read the quote out just so people know what exactly I'm talking about there. Let me find the quote real quick. But any takeaways, John, from what any of the players or coaches had to say? Lane spoke, Smitty spoke, Saquon spoke, Jalen Hurts spoke, obviously, and a couple of Zach Bond and a couple of others.
Yeah, the one who stood out to me was Lane, because he got asked about the edge rushers, and he immediately went to Uche, which I thought was interesting because obviously I hold Lane in high regard when it comes to edge rushers. And, you know, then he kind of caught himself and went to everybody and went down the list. But I thought it was interesting that he talked about Josh Uche because, you know, really – Ojulari's been ahead of him, but I think Uche is been more impressive. And I think, you know, you saw it last year when Lane and Jordan Mailata went into Nick Sirianni's office at the break, and you know their comments hold some weight. So if Lane Johnson's saying that behind the scenes, maybe Josh Uche starts getting more of a look. That's the one that stood out to me, just because he,
right. You know, it was Lane Johnson. He knows a good edge rusher when he sees one.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was off the top of his head. He was being honest, and it was one of those things where he immediately defaulted to Josh Uche.
John, not to toot my own horn or anything, all right, but back on March the 24th, John, I did bold predictions on the National Football Show with Celia. Number 7 for me was Josh Uche will be the best bargain signing. I think that prediction might be looking good after hearing what Lane Johnson had to say. Good stuff to hear that from Lane Johnson.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because Zach Long was telling the story about how Nick Sirianni used him to, you know, sort of bolster up all the free agents. All the one-year free agent Tamu signings we've been talking about. He said, look what can happen. And he also brought up Uche. So, you know, as Zach Bond is more in the essence of, you know, he really wants to take advantage of this situation. So we'll see how it shakes out. But some good on the field, Aziz is still ahead of him, but maybe maybe that starts to change.
We'll see what ends up happening. John, last comment from you on the night, and I just want to read it to everybody so they know. I don't know. You, John, I'm not on the ledge or anything on this. I just think it sounds a little odd, and you can tell me if I'm off base or not, and we'll see what you have to say. Saquon Barkley says he's emphasized rest and recovery this offseason as opposed to previous offseasons, noting the workload of last year. He says, and I quote, "I'm competitive by nature, so seeing videos of Derrick Henry and CMC running hills and stuff, the old me, that would get to me. But everybody around me has told me to sit my ass down, so I'm listening." Now, I don't know why that sounds odd to me, John. I understand, obviously, he should be recouping his body, and I'm sure he's not going to a full extent of sitting his ass down. But you're a professional athlete. I don't think you want to be just golfing all offseason. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That sounded a little odd to me. What did you make of that comment?
No, I think it was taken out of context. That, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that Saquon didn't do much last year, as, you know, late in the season. Didn't practice much. Didn't do that, as they tried to, as Nick explained, probably a million times, to the point of frustration, because he would always get those questions about the touches, and he said, "We manage him during the week." In other words, you know, he basically only works in walkthroughs. He doesn't practice a lot, and that's how they manage it. They manage it behind the scenes, not in the game, where it was full bore, which he also says a million times, if we have to run it 40 times, we're going to run it 40 times. That's how they went about it. Same thing in the offseason. They want him. The history is clear. I mean, anybody can do the history of people who have touched football as much as Saquon Barkley did last year. The history is not great, and they're trying to fight against that history. And their philosophy is, you know, manage the body when you can manage the body, because when the game shows up,
right,
we're gonna run them the way they need to run them to win football games.
Yeah, so, now that makes sense. And I do think it was taken a little out of context. I'm sure Saquon Barkley's not on his ass, you know, all offseason or anything like that. But I would say that the week, John, is a little different, though, than the offseason, right? Offseason, you can develop some rust over a couple months. In the week, you're greasing the tire, you're greasing the wheels, and, you know, kind of getting ready for the weekend. But I hear you. I think overall probably makes sense what you're saying and what they're doing in terms of trying to reverse that history. John, your final thoughts on this Football 24/7 edition. Thank you for doing it live from the NovaCare parking lot, Johnny Mack. We love it. We appreciate it. Your final thoughts here, brother.
Yeah, well, I'll close with Saquon, that more on that, because, you know, I do think people misunderstand. Like, Saquon's not a guy you have to worry that's not going to be in shape. You know, he doesn't get out of shape.
Yeah, right. It's not like he's developing a beer gut like we will if he's sitting on the couch for a week.
I mean, he's not the guy's guy. What he's saying when he was younger, and you don't take that punishment, you feel like a million bucks. And, you know, if he saw somebody like Derrick Henry doing that or Christian McCaffrey doing this, he would want to go out and do the same thing. And now he's learned over the years, and he talked about this a lot last year, and he's a history. He, you know, he's one of the guys who, not a lot of guys who know the history of football. They play the game because they're good at it.
Right.
He's like a fan of football. Like, he knows about every great running back, and he's a huge Barry Sanders fan. And he talks to Marshall Faulk, as he mentioned, all the time. And he talks to Edgerrin James all the time. So he talks to all these big time backs from the past and sort of picks their mind about how they went through it, how they did it. So he's a student of the game, and he's learning as he gets older, which, even though to people like me, 28 seems eternally young, to a running back who touches the football as much as he does, you can go down quickly if you don't handle your body correctly. And when you touch the football as much as he did, the last thing you want to do is go a million miles an hour during the week and during the offseason.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I think it's overall probably a better, it's more of a positive thing than anything. So, John, good context there, brother. Thanks for doing the report tonight. Get home safely. We'll talk to you in the morning on Birds 365. Thank you, brother.
All right, thanks all.
All right, there's Johnny Mack, John McMullen, joining us here on a special football 24/7 edition of the show. Great show there. Great takeaways from the Eagles' one and only mandatory minicamp day. Well, the only team in the NFL with a one-day mandatory minicamp. Everybody else's was at least 2 or 3 days. So the Birds have the shortest one. It is now done and dusted. They are not on the field anymore until the end of July at training camp. So we do have a little bit of a layover coming up. But I thought we had great takeaways today, guys. I really do. I think Jalen Hurts continues to take control, continues to be in control in practice. These are positive things. I think it shows you that he's very comfortable, you know, more so now than ever of this is my offense. I don't really care about the changes at coordinators. I'm managing everything. I manage things at the line of scrimmage. I manage the playbook. I manage everything. All right, and I think that's a good thing, and I think you can see that confidence seeping through Hurts a little bit. Saquon Barkley, good news, obviously, on him. Interesting comments. He made one comment that was good, too. He's motivated by being the greatest running back of all time. It wasn't Super Bowls or anything. It was the greatest running back of all time. I thought that was an interesting comment. And one thing I've always been interested in terms of, like, the human aspect of sports is what drives players, what great players do to succeed, what they do to continue to succeed. So, you know, Saquon has really become a case study for me in how a great player thinks, operates, moves, studies, learns the game, studies the game like John pointed to, a student of the game. That's one of the things that's always fascinated me about sports is what makes the best players outside of their talent, what makes them the best? And how can we apply that to our own life, right? We all do things. We're family men. We're women. We're brothers, fathers, husbands, sons, wives, whatever you are, right? How can we apply that to our own life and kind of be better? So I think it's a good thing. It's one of my favorite things to look at with sports. The Danny Gray comment, how about that? You know, emerging receiver in camp, always good to hear of a name that you didn't expect. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., apparently he looks good. I think that's a positive sign for the team. And apparently Kelee Ringo looks pretty good as well. So he got the reps at right cornerback today. So that's a good sign, a positive sign. We'll see if anything changes in that when camp rolls around. And then Jahad Campbell. I think that's a great thing there with Jahad Campbell, the fact that he's out there moving around. John kind of downplayed it. But look, man, this is our first-round pick. We've heard a lot about, oh, he's not going to be playing, not going to be playing, not going to be playing. Just the fact that we saw him out there moving with football player, I think that's a positive thing. I don't think it's worth overblowing that or kind of brushing over it. You know, I think that's a positive thing for Jahad Campbell. So good stuff there. And then the last piece is Nick Muse. JD3, I'm sorry, brother. Nick Muse is on the way. Nick Muse has showed up in Philly. And Kyle McCord. How about Kyle McCord? Apparently, he's already usurped Dorian Thompson-Robinson as quarterback 3. He looks sharp, and he's got a connection with Nick Muse. All right, so they're making hay back there on the third offense. Like to hear that. Maybe JD3. Is Harrison Bryant done and dusted? We will see what happens. All right, and then overall, that's it. Spring is done. Now you're getting ready for training camp, which will come at the end of July. All right, so the Philadelphia Eagles are officially done. Great takeaways from Johnny Mack tonight. We'll break it all down tomorrow again on Birds 365. We'll be live all through the offseason, everybody. We appreciate you being here tonight. Hit that like button. Drop your comment down below in the live chat, or if you're listening after, watching after, drop it down below on the video. We appreciate you all being here tonight. Hit the like button. I appreciate you, M. Reyes, JD3, CZ, Prince Swayze, Brian Bidding, Twizzler, Twiz the Jigga. What's up, Twiz? Real Zeal, my boy Brian Pumper, CZ's in here. Appreciate all of our great live viewers tonight. Philly Dom, all of you guys for being here. We appreciate each and every one of you. Hit the like button, and I'll see you in the morning on Birds 365. Thank you, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.